Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and I am joined by my excellent panel from the epicenter of the known universe, Youngstown, Ohio. We have author, activist, and barkeep, Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Thank you, Simon, for that wonderful introduction. I'm looking forward to end of the summer a bonanza of ideas and solutions to the world's problems, and then wishing everybody to enjoy a happy week before Labor Day weekend.
How's the wings biz in these dog days of summer?
Well, wing prices have been way down. They're starting to creep back up because, as you know, Simon, because we're going to have our football predictions for the Super Bowl at the end of the show today, the prices are creeping back up. And I'm hoping that Obama holds the line in red Muslim Syria and to keep our wing prices down and for the football season.
Nancy, good thought. From the City of Angels, we're joined by well-known and well-respected attorney Peter Haven. Welcome, Peter.
Oh, thank you very much, Simon. Always a pleasure. Look forward to taking on today's topic.
I don't know you remember the infamous Cobra Storbs bounty hunter.
Cobra Storbs bounty hunter? No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought that, maybe you'd been around when Cobra was part of the group. Anyway, he called me yesterday. He's doing well, kicking doors in and terrorizing criminals with revoked bonds.
Well, he sounds like a character. I've never had the pleasure.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a character. Talking about characters, also from Southern California, we have the owner of Sunset Protection, security for the rich and famous, the always colorful John Perry. John, welcome.
Hey, Simon. Fellows, appreciate the clumsily worded intro, but not the fret, Simon. Inelegance passes as charm in Youngstown.
So, how is the protection biz? Any good stories from last week?
I'm filling out my invoices. It's always the most pleasant part of the job, right, Peter?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
This week, we also have a friend of mine joining us from New Jersey, the state that is probably best well known for the great movie The Toxic Avenger, Bill Conrad. He's not as jaded as the rest of us, and I'm hoping he might bring a new perspective to our discussion. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate you inviting me to be on this show, though I'm sure I'm going to regret it by the end of the show.
Oh, and Bill, I should tell you the rules of engagement. Don't be
okay,
shy.
Let me. Okay.
Right. When you want to jump in, jump in.
There's no buzzer here, huh?
No. It's complete anarchy. Okay. I want to start off with the Bradley Manning story. Let's begin with the fact that he's been sentenced to 35 years. Believe it or not, that's a very long time for this type of crime. Mostly, you know, 30 years is the max for, doing this kind of crap. You have to go all the way back to the Rosenbergs, to find a more, evil result. Who should I start with? Who should I pick on? Sam, do you think 35 years is fair?
Which one are you talking about, the male or the female? yes, I don't think he's. Look, he to me is a whistleblower. We know this president, this administration, are anti-whistleblowers. Let's face it, he kind of, to me, he opened up the key to the Pandora's box, about all the spying that's been going on, and that's getting worse and worse and worse. I think this guy should be pardoned by the president. Of course, this president will not do that. To me, is a he, she, she's a hero or heroine, whatever you want to say. And I'm glad he did what he did. We need to have more people standing up to a fascist state that this country seems to be sliding into, especially when it comes to the people in the NSA spying on their own boyfriends and girlfriends. And I think he should be zero, and I think he should be pardoned. That's how I feel about it. And he can go live his own life and maybe become a porn star, and then John Perry will have to protect him or her from celebrity paparazzi.
Okay, well, that's an obvious segue into John. John, how do you feel about the 35-year sentence?
That was smooth. Good to be with you, Sammy. Simon, I had a few days to think of this, and I came up with, first of all, he's changing his surname to Bradley Womanning.
Right.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of echo what Sam said. I don't know the extent of his treachery or release of information, but I don't think it comes close to, say, what Jane Fonda or Bill Ayers have done. And I think the guy should be released, time served, and let him go get a sex change or deal with his gender bender identity problems on his own dime.
I'm truly amazed at you, John. I thought you were going to say, let's build the gallows.
No, I don't know the extent of his treachery, but I haven't heard anything earth-shattering. I know, like the New York Times, when they published the Pentagon Papers, which Sam mentioned, that was probably a lot worse as far as damage to national security. Nothing happened to them or Ellsberg, so why the double standard? I think, first, my big concern is, how did this kid even get the access to the information? That's where they
need
to be.
That's a very good question. And when you know the answer to that question.
And he just made a mistake.
But when you know the answer to that question, when you know the answer to that question, you'll know why his sentence was so severe.
That could be, Peter. Yeah, we're not privy to that. But that would be my concern. And who higher up gave him the clearance to release this information?
Oh, no one gave him release.
This guy had a lot of problems, apparently. It was lost on all his superiors. Why? That's my question. Look at the system that created this, and I feel bad for the kid. That's way too much time for, in my understanding, what he did.
Right. I mean, what was it, that Snowden guy? WikiLeaks? He's living the rest of his life in the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Yeah, well, that's different. I think he's actually wanted in Sweden. But, it's the same type of thing. And remember, that there's Holder doesn't need to go to court anymore. He can just declare somebody an enemy combatant and send a drone after him. Right. So Snowden better watch out.
Good Lord, is this the same John Perry?
He's been drinking some, he's been eating some libertarian Snickers lately. Next to my happiness.
You know what it is, Simon? I was watching the Juggalos in Cave in Rock, Illinois, and it really impacted my life.
Okay. All right. Peter, you jumped in there, and I thank you for it. What are your views on this sentence?
Well, he was tried, as I understand it, in a military tribunal, in a military courtroom. He was a military analyst, intelligence officer, and he was subject to military jurisdiction and military law, and he violated his duties as a military analyst to safeguard and protect that information, and he disclosed 700,000 or so government files to the public, and I think it's a long sentence, certainly, but when you are a member of the military, I think you know the consequences of what you're going to do. And I think he knew that the consequences of what he was going to do was going to subject him to a very long sentence. It's also my understanding that the sentence that he got was actually less than what prosecutors were arguing for. They were looking for, in effect, what would have been a life sentence.
Well, and, Peter, let me ask you, is this a mitigating factor? He thought he was a woman at the time, right?
I don't know what he was actually thinking. I don't know what he says he was thinking. But that's a whole other topic right there.
But if he thought he was a woman, can he be excused somewhat because you know how they like to gossip?
Oh, God.
Well, John, I must say, you have certainly been eating some good Snicker bars lately.
Okay, and Bill, I don't know how closely you've been following the Bradley Manning story, but do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, when I look at this, again, this person is representing our military. He knows what he's supposed to be doing. This is kind of like treason. I mean, it isn't like he sent out a few really good memos. He released 700,000 documents that were all classified. I mean, how long did it take for him to do that? I mean, I'm lucky that I get through a couple of dozen books in a year. How did he get through 700,000 documents and let this out? With all those other things that we talked about, these were civilians. This is working deep within the trenches of the U.S. military. That's a really unsafe place to be, and I think that he should be prosecuted with as much. I lost the word. He should be prosecuted. We should not let him off just because he's a woman, has gender issues. I'm sure that on a there's lots of people with gender issues, but we don't just excuse them for gender issues. We say you're held accountable for what you do wrong. Period.
Wait, I understand that stuff. Okay, military. First of all, how does a private? I mean, nothing against private, but how does a private get a hold of all this classified information? I mean, it boggles my mind that you have a private military. You know, I know a little about the military for my son being in it, and maybe other people know more, but I would think that a private wouldn't be privy to that sort of massive amounts of information. And maybe either he was stealing it some way or hacked into it, or maybe someone else was helping him, or I do not know. Oh. I think his gender issue is totally a separate issue, shouldn't even be brought up. But what really should be brought up, how did he hurt the country? Did we get invaded? Did something happen? Did something like Benedict Arnold selling out for Ticonderoga? I mean, or any of this stuff? Yeah. It wasn't like in the Rosenbergs, and then Simon brought them up, they were railroaded. And we don't know, you know, and I don't trust this government. If you just, if you do, Bill, you know, bless you, but I don't. I distrust this government. And look at the way they handled the Fort Hood murder thing. That's crazy. This administration, this NSA, this CIA, this FBI, you can't trust them. Any American who trusts this government, and when they stand up because they're the government, and they say Bradley Manning is bad because he did this, I question the system that we're in right now. I mean, I didn't see the evidence. I didn't see what he leaked. When I did see a little on WikiLeaks, Americans, how are we compromised? Someone tell me that. How are we a weaker nation?
Well, I don't know to what extent people's lives were actually put in jeopardy because of what he exposed. I don't know to what extent national security was put in jeopardy because of what he exposed. But part of the reason that he got the sentence that he got is because if people in his position do expose that type of information, then lives and national security could be an issue. And
but we are, but that's what this country is supposed to be. What's wrong with whistleblowing, whether you're in the military or civilian, if your superiors are doing bad, illegal things? And that's
well,
what he thought.
Well, okay. So you say
that's my argument, and that's what Snowden has exposed. Oh. Thank God for Edwin Snowden, because look what's happened since then. And look what's coming up more and more as they shine a light on that corrupt, incompetent NSA and the type of stuff that's going on there. And it's worse than we all know it.
Well, you know what? I think that's correct with the NSA, but I'm really concerned because we don't know what this information is that he exposed. We don't know the vulnerabilities and the things that went wrong with this. Because, for instance, I get kind of PO'd when they show, oh, look at this particular airport, and here's the humongous security hole in here, and all you have to do is to do this and such, and you can get through security with guns and weapons and all kinds of things. I just think that's kind of inappropriate out there. We don't know what he leaked out there, nor are they going to let us know what that is, because that's going to make it even more vulnerable. We don't want to go there.
Well, most of it's already exposed on WikiLeaks.
Well, people call me up every day, and in one form or another, they always ask the same question, and they always say it the same way. Can they do that? Can they do that? Can they do that? And I always tell them, people can basically do whatever they want to do, but there's a consequence to it. You know, can he expose national security issues, or can he expose confidential documents or protected documents? And the answer is obviously yes, he can. But there's a consequence to that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what the answers to these questions are, but I know that he was, as Sam pointed out, a private in the military, and he was a security analyst, and he was charged with an absolute duty and responsibility to maintain the security of those records, and he chose to disregard that. And there is a consequence for that kind of action in that kind of position. And,
I would have preferred that he would have just left government at that point. If he discovered these things, just leave and get out of there, because you don't want to be part of this. You know,
maybe he felt that disclosing this was worth putting his career in jeopardy and going to jail for a significant period of time. I think that's the decision he made.
It sort of bothers me. I see few checks and balances with the NSA and the whole FISA court system. It just goes on and on and on. There were some documents released earlier this week, and it was basically the NSA saying, "Oops, we did spy on you. You know, but we didn't mean to."
Well, I don't know what documents you're talking about. I know that this past week there was information about various, these big internet providers and carriers, for lack of a better word, Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and Microsoft. And they all came out and they all basically acknowledged in one form or another that they're entitled to seek reimbursement from the government in exchange for complying with their subpoena requests. And some of them wanted money to comply with the subpoena quest because these are reimbursable costs, and others apparently didn't put in the requests. But to the extent that those entities are talking about the degree to which they receive compensation for costs that they incur in complying with subpoena requests, I suppose that's further acknowledgement that information is being provided and in response to these subpoena requests. And as far as checks and balances are concerned, all of that is apparently going to manifest itself in the form of newly proposed legislation, which is designed or aimed at trying to curtail these subpoena requests. But right now, everything that's being done, as far as I can tell, is being done in accordance with the laws of the United States. And I don't know what else to say about it right now. Maybe the law will change, but right now it is the law.
And Sam, you're a reader, and I'm sure that you have consumed Brave New World, 1984. I mean, we're right there.
Sam, what were you consuming in 1984?
Well, in the Obama administration, they'd prefer Fahrenheit 451 and just burn everything. That's what they prefer to do. We're there. I mean, it's amazing. You know, when you think about, the great writer Philip Dick, some of the Hollywood movies that came out in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you think of, like you said, Brave New World, Ray Bradbury and all that, they were right on. I mean, and some of the stuff that they predicted that our government has started to implement. And therefore, like, a guy, Bradley Manning to me is a hero and should be released. But unfortunately, our upset, the neocons and the warmonger, the warmonger machine, the ones that want us in Syria, the ones that want us to keep this war economy going and grow this government bigger and bigger and bigger to eavesdrop on Americans, to spy on Americans, to know everything about all of us so they can control our lives even more so. And it's not surprising to me that he got 35 years. I'm surprised they didn't hang him.
Sam, if Bradley Manning was released from this sentence and he came to you and he said, listen, I have a background in accounting and tax advising and tax preparation. Why don't you hire me as your bookkeeper? Would you do it?
Bradley Manning?
Yeah.
I don't need a bookkeeper. I need to get someone in the bar. You know, I need people to get fannies in the bar. I can get an accountant. I can do my own stuff.
Well,
But I understand. I understand what you're saying. Bradley Manning. I might hire him. I might hire her to dance. You know, that might even be better. But, you know, to come into the bar alone, it would be.
Well, you better have a lot of beer, my friend. You better have a lot of beer.
No, but you know, my thing is, I don't trust. As you all guys know me, and Bill, you don't know me that well. I don't trust our government, and I trust it even least. I thought Bush and Cheney were bad. Obama and what the heck's the vice president's name? John, help me. I'm having a Rick Perry moment. What's the president's name? That's it. they're even worse. And the NSA's gotten stronger. I mean, I really believe we have gone back to we've really taken a page, quietly, benign. Our government, we're back where we were in the 50s. Simon brought up Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. It's that type of thing right now. Where, instead of being communist, it's in the interest of national security, and the terrorists are going to get us. You know, and I think we're back into that, and we've got people spying on it. I don't know what a House Un-American Activities Committee is called, whatever it's called now. I think I forget what they call it now. They have a different double speak for it.
It's called Sam's Club now.
Sam's Club.
not a big stuff. And anyway, we've got that, and that's what's going on. But, you know, I think, to me, Bradley Manning's case to be a hero is made stronger, deeper by the revelations that have come out because of Snowden's whistleblowing and the subsequent documents that have come out. And now, even in the special investigators reports, now which are definitely glossed over, are not as complete as we'd like them to be, they have found incredible amounts of abuse by the people in the government. So, bravo, Bradley, or what's his female name? Bradette, whatever Chelsea. He wants to call himself. Chelsea Mount Manning. Bravo, Edwin Snowden. I hope more people step forward. I wish the media would get off their asses and start reporting how corrupt and Barack Obama is worse than Richard Nixon, and we've got to get back our government and get this government out of our lives and working what it's supposed to be working on, not controlling our lives.
And John, you've been suspiciously quiet, you know, which usually means you just sat there stewing, you know, waiting to burst out.
Well, as much as I love Sam, you refer to him as Wall Red, and then he talks about the Rosenbergs, and I haven't heard anyone claim they're innocent in 20 years. But
wait a minute, you think the Rosenbergs are guilty?
There's no doubt about it. Everybody involved.
That's right. Wait a minute. I apologize. You thought Ho Chi Minh never fought on our side in World War II. I apologize.
No, I know you won't read this, but there's the Rosenberg file by Ronald Radosh about 20 years ago. But do this. Google Morton Sobel. He did about 17 to 20 years. He worked with the Rosenbergs. He wrote a book about 20 years ago, denied involvement. 5 years ago, he admitted it all. That's the Rosenberg's brother, David Greenglass.
Yeah, he was caught by the FBI that didn't believe the Nazis.
Look up Morton Sobel.
Yes, and caught by the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, your favorite cross-dresser, John, who didn't believe
the guy
the Nazis.
Even admitted it. Okay, but
Sam, you're
here
with Richard
Miller. As far as the corruption in government.
There's 57... How many members of the Communist Party were in the American Army? 57, because Joe McCarthy liked Heinz ketchup, and there were 50. And the only number he could remember was 57 because of Heinz, 57 varieties.
There were hundreds in the government at that time. That's indisputable. Please.
The Rosenbergs were railroaded, as was Alger Hiss.
It's a complete joke.
Okay, but, you know, the Rosenbergs, Julius, I believe, you know, was absolutely guilty.
They both were, Simon.
Okay, they both were.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, comparing the Rosenbergs to Bradley Manning or Bradley Womaning, you know, is a really
like that, huh?
Poor choice. Because the Rosenbergs were giving information directly to enemy forces.
The atomic energy information from Los Alamos.
Correct. All right.
The H-bomb.
Right. Now.
And that's how the Soviet Union got it so quick.
Right, but. You know, definitely a traitor.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not sure that you can label, you know, Bradley whatever, yeah, as a traitor.
I'm with you on that. I think his treachery pales in comparison, as I said, to Jane Fonda and Bill Ayers.
Oh, Lord. This is why I love talking to you.
Hey, Simon, never let complete ignorance of the subject matter prevent you from offering an opinion.
Yeah, occasionally you probably might want to do some research before opening your mouth. But never mind.
Speaking of research, I'd like to hear from the detective on the panel, Frank Cannon.
Unfortunately, I don't have enough information to comment about the Rosenbergs, but you know, one of the things that really was disturbing was the way they hunted down after the Boston Marathon, where everyone rolled over and said, hey, it's okay, you can turn off our cell phones, you can tell us that we have to stay inside, you can make this whole city and suburbs a police state. And that's, everyone was happy to cooperate and to just roll over and let the government do what they need to do. You know, that's just so disturbing. It so much reeks of 1984 and everything else.
I'd never considered it that way, but yeah, it's a good observation. I'm sure John Perry is reaching for a Snickers bar right now. You know, yes. You know, this is what we need to do. Sam, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think what he just said is a great point. I think we've talked about it before, how that hunt brought down a whole city of, not only did they bring down a whole city, they mobilized like I think it was 19,000 total law enforcement people from A to Z were mobilized to get one kid in a boat in the backyard. And it's amazing, that sort of government overreach. But it all goes back to good old Ben Franklin, who said,
okay,
if you're going to give up, his famous quote, one of his many famous quotes is, those who give up liberty in the name of security have neither. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And that's the question facing this country right now, are we going to let trust this government to run everything in our lives and, you know, to do whatever they want to do, and because they're protecting us from the so-called bad men and bad women out there. And that's done. There are some people who have no problem with that. I do. I think it's a huge overreach, and just a matter of time before they'll eventually go to John Perry and say, John, you're part of the posse comitatus, and we're going to arrest you and throw you in prison. And no matter how hard Manny Barling and Peter Haven work to get you out, they're not going to let you out. And you're going to have to share a cell with Chelsea Manning.
and how come if he gets a sex change, are they allowing him to go into a male prison? I don't get that. Do you get that?
Well, has he had the sex change yet?
No, he wants to have it in prison, and we have to pay for it. Maybe that was his whole MO from the beginning. Maybe this is like Saturday afternoon when Al Pacino character robbed the bank so his boyfriend could have a sex change operation. Give it to that?
You know what? And it's all because he couldn't get food stamps earlier in life, so now he says, well, I'm going to go for the sex change, right?
Right, but, you know, I don't see that it should cost very much. You know, all you need is a sharp knife.
Oh, boy.
This won't hurt.
Oh, boy. We just lost the Gay and Lesbian Alliance listeners right now. You just lost them.
Sorry. I was only joking, folks.
That's all right. No skin off
L-U-A.
My back, but, you know.
Remember, Simon, L-U-A, L-U-A.
Okay. Let's move on. I think we've had enough of Bradley Manning. How about Syria? There are, you know, bunch of new declarations out there, you know, that they're using poison gas. It was announced either late last night or early this morning that they are going to allow UN inspectors into the various, you know, areas where poison gas has been, you know, supposedly used. Sam, any thoughts?
Thoughts of, yeah, I, you know, it's at first when that stuff came, you know, it was very strange when I looked at the majority of the quote-unquote amateur videos that came out on YouTube, and some were on CNN and some were on BBC and whatnot. And one of the things I couldn't understand was that my understanding of what I've read, that if you're someone who touches somebody, if you're healthy and you go to touch someone who's been exposed, that gas, or just the gas they were saying, or chemicals, then gets onto you and then you become exposed. And I don't, I've seen and heard mixed reactions to that. Some people that I've read said yes, and that's what made the that if you touch someone who's been exposed, you're gonna get it. Much like if you're in like a live, someone touched the live wire, you go to get them, you get the electricity passes through them to you. And some other people, and then some people said that's why some of the parts of videos seem staged. And I kept looking, how could these things be staged? I mean, the Hollywood isn't there. And it looked, you know, and some of the things were horrific when you saw. It's obvious to me, I think chemicals were used. The question becomes, did the Syrian government use it against them, or are the rebels that desperate based upon the fact that since Hezbollah has joined the side, they've been a counterattack, and they're pushing, you know, they're starting to win and win decisively, and the rebels did it themselves as an act of desperation to try to get the United States involved. Those are two things. You know, that's one thing I'm wrestling with. And the biggest question is, obviously, Obama keeps moving back the red line. He's moving the goalpost back. And he said back one of his big things when he saber-rattled and, during the campaign was, that's the red line. Well, if this is true that the chemicals were used last week, that's the second time, and we haven't done anything. Are we going to? I certainly hope not, because I think this one... if we haven't learned our lesson in Iraq and Afghanistan, this is just going to be, strike three. Strike one was Iraq. Strike two will be Afghanistan. This will be World War III if we get involved.
John, you're definitely a hawkish kind of a guy.
Do
you think that, we should get involved in any shape or form in what's going on in Syria?
Well, Simon, what does the UN ambassador Samantha Power say about it? Oh, that's right, she's on vacation. Sam makes some good points, but I'd like to ask him: did he ever figure out is Syria a blue or red Muslim state?
I think at this point Syria is half blue and half red. Is that possible? Sort of like. Sort of like Ohio. We're a half blue state and a half red state. So I think
okay,
that.
Okay, so can you nuke half the country then?
Yeah. I think we draw a line through the middle of that one. I think Syria is the Assad part controlled by Assad is red Muslim and the blue. Well, you know, John, to be honest with you, unlike John McCain, I don't know who any of the rebels are.
That's an important distinction. But you were mentioning the line in the sand or whatever he said. It reminds me of. I envision you as being a bully on the schoolyard, and you know how they had lines all over the schoolyard, and some kid would say, "Hey, Sammy, I dare you to step over this line," and you would, and then he'd step back a few steps, and you just repeat it over and over again. That's what Obama reminds me of.
I think he's making a. He's certainly not doing a really good job at. Presenting American leadership and strength at this point.
Those lines in the schoolyard, did you ever get hit?
No, I was too busy making out with the girls who were the girlfriends of the bullies who were fighting. That was my job. John and all that, I just think I really want to stay out of this. If we haven't, I just don't like. There's a way to stay out of it, and Obama's even screwing that up. It's amazing to me. He can't even stay out of the fight right in the right way.
So, John, I know you're not very good at answering questions. Yeah.
It's called death.
But Do you think we should stay out of Syria? And the answer I'm looking for is yes, no.
Can I have a caveat? I would say we should stay out of it because I have Syrian friends who I talk to, and they told me 80% of the people support the regime Assad, which I didn't know. So to me, we got to go with them.
Okay, so you're not advocating any kind of action.
I think the rebels are going to be the same people who took over Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood. They're going to be worse. Libya, who knows who controls that country. They obviously were no friends of ours with Benghazi. And I think whoever steps in is probably going to be worse than Assad, as shameful as that is. But I trust Putin's judgment a lot more than Obama's, and he's backing Assad, so I'll go with that.
Did you know that Putin is advocating Putin care?
I don't know, but I like his foreign policy. It's if you got him by the balls, hearts and minds will follow. I've always been a big advocate.
Peter, you've been incredibly quiet.
Oh, I've been. I'm just receiving an education. This is fantastic.
What's your view? You know, should we do something?
To me, there's at least two questions in your question. What is something, and who is we? Because the use of chemical or biological weapons is something that is basically seen as a threat to the world. And it's something that the world community should not tolerate. So it begs the question of whether or not there's going to be a coalition or a consensus among nations as to if there should be any kind of responsive activity. And I think that they may very well be compelled to do that because they can't allow countries to start using chemical and biological weapons like this. It's a major destabilizing threat to the world. Now, having said that, I don't know if they can truly ever stop it, but doing nothing may be very it may be very hazardous to everyone's health. Secondly, what people do, we talk about going in there, but there are other options, and it seems to me that some of the options that are being considered are surgical airstrikes on the compounds or the military installations that were responsible for, making these chemicals, if in fact that's what happened. And regardless of whether those compounds or installations were rebel dominated or government dominated, it seems to me that every nation is considering, or at least there are nations who are considering an airstrike on those installations.
But if someone does that, is it going to help anything?
Well, that's a very good question, and I fear that there may be no easy answer to this. I mean, we are living in a world where the ability to commit atrocity upon one another seems to grow every day, and I fear that there'll be if we thought 9/11 was bad, the next one is going to be even worse. And that 9/11 just upped the ante.
Yeah.
And we have terrorists and unstable governments and unstable leaders of governments rising up in different pockets all over the world. They're flagrantly or blatantly testing nuclear weapons or biological weapons. And what do we do about it? I honestly don't know. And I fear that there's a horrible event coming down the horizon. I just don't know how far away it is or where it's going to strike.
Is there a way to prevent it, or should we?
Well, I mean, we talk about ways of preventing it. We talk about ways of preventing it, and it turns into a political discussion about whether or not this is just partisan politics trying to protect the world, whether or not this is truly national security trying to protect the world, or whether or not it's just one party trying to get information to take over the White House. So one of the strengths of our free speech democratic society is that, you know, we have this discussion, but you ask how can we prevent that, and the minute we start being aggressive with national security or surveillance or going into other parts of the world or what have you, we get mired in a debate about whether or not we should do that. And I'm not saying that the debate is wrong. I'm saying that in many instances these powers are abused. But, you know, it just leaves me with a sense of, I don't know what to do. Because, if we don't do anything, it seems to me the problem is going to get worse. And if we do something, there are people complaining that that's not the right thing to do. But this is the shadow that lives over all of us. And I don't think it's going away. It's just getting darker.
Okay, John, should we just close our borders and ignore everyone? Isolationist.
I'm not isolationist. Sam and I have had this discussion. You know my feelings, Simon. I think we should be a positive influence throughout the world. And with the state of affairs in this country, I can't say it any longer. But ideally, we should be a beacon for freedom and independence throughout the world. And I'm for keeping our allies strong and in power.
Oh, okay, but. Does that mean that we have to pick up the tab for them?
What pick up the tab? I like the military-industrial complex and the fact that at least one entity in this country can make some money and keep our friends safe.
Oh, come on, John.
Yeah,
be realistic.
I'm for that, Simon. I don't know why it's so hard for you to
right.
ask. But
okay.
They're going to buy weapons from someone. Why shouldn't we give, say, the Egyptian military weapons if they're just going to buy it from Russia and China anyway?
But here's the thing, John. They don't actually buy weapons. We give them a credit card. $1.3 billion.
But that's so minor. Look at Saudi Arabia, how they're giving them money. But, Simon, do you really think if we close up shop and become isolationists, the world's going to be a safer place? I can't see it. It's never been that way.
Okay, but listen to my idea, right? Okay, it's great that we offer foreign aid, but essentially it's a credit card, right? $1.3 billion. But the credit card is only useful at your local U.S. defense company.
Like Boeing.
Right. And who's paying the tab? It's the taxpayer.
To keep the world safe, I don't have a problem with that.
Right. So... you have no problem that, the world, our economy is in the toilet, and, we're effectively, just making it worse by, billion here, billion there. Pretty soon you're talking big money.
Simon, please, look at our national debt. Come on, $1 billion here and there, it's like pennies. I don't see it. I think we're up to $17 trillion now.
Okay. Someone on the panel help me here. I mean, there's got to be someone that says, we should not be... giving these people money to buy more guns and ammo. Peter, your thoughts?
Well, as we discussed last week, in my opinion, this is all a very complicated issue. And I honestly don't know what the right answers are. I just know that it's very complicated. I don't know that we can just ignore what goes on in the world. I mean, I always think about it as, you know, say you lived on a big block in a big residential community, and you were the biggest house on the block. How long could you just ignore what was going on in the other homes and pretend like it wasn't happening? At what point would any kind of violence or instability in any one or two or three homes threaten the safety of you and your family, you know, trying to go to your home or live peacefully in your home? I don't know if it's capable, if we're capable of just ignoring these things. So if we're not capable of ignoring it, and I don't think we are, then what do you do? You know, John makes a good point. If you don't try to bolster the strength of your desired allies or ostensible allies, someone else will. And it's a bit of an intractable problem. I honestly don't know what the right answers are. And any time we give aid to any country, ultimately the taxpayers are paying for it. And it is sad but true that billions have become relatively small amounts of money in our culture, at least in terms of our America's fiscal culture. I honestly don't know. I just think that this is an incredibly complicated problem, and I'm not sure there are any easy solutions to it. I don't think the world is made better by putting arms in everyone's hands, but sometimes I wonder what other alternatives there are, and I'm not sure I see any.
Good answer.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it was an answer at all. I think I flat out dodged the question, and I'll be honest. I don't know how to answer it.
Yeah, you're a lawyer. I mean, you know, what can I expect?
Wait, I resemble that remark.
Hey, Simon, it's answers like that that usually cost $300 an hour.
Yes, yes, and I'm sorry if the results weren't good enough. Here's the bill. Have a nice day.
Do you have John Perry's email address so you can?
Oh, I do. I keep a close eye on Sunset Protection. I might be consulting with him in the not too distant future.
Oh no, it's not so.
No, you'd be surprised. We're going to have something right up John's alley.
Right.
But,
you know,
be that as it may.
To quote from Star Wars, don't go to the dark side.
Well, I mean, that begs the question. You got to choose one side, right?
Right.
Is it better to choose a side or just stay in the middle and you know, be one of the Ewoks that gets cut down by a sand raider?
I'm going to change the subject completely, and it's a fun one. Al Jazeera has now opened up a new channel. Is there room for another 24/7 cable news network? And more importantly, can Al Jazeera reinvent themselves? That they, you know, that they don't have a great rep in the U.S. Yeah, they seem to be viewed with a great deal of hostility. And yeah, also that they're in a bad place on the channel list. I think it's 300 and something or other on my cable network. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I've actually watched it, and I like that they are bringing in a viewpoint that a lot of other cable networks have previously not touched. In fact, when I was watching the news report on the Syrian gas, I saw that the other stations were showing a lot more graphic type pictures on there, things that they would have always kind of scoured over and say, you know what, we think that either someone has passed gas or there was poison gas in Syria. We're not really sure what happened over there, but there seems to be people either sick or dead. And you take something like Al Jazeera, and they're showing and they're going down to the nitty gritty, and they're not accepting easy answers to any of the questions they ask. If they are interviewing someone, they get to the bottom of it, and it's kind of refreshing. I think that they are not another cable news network. I think that they're going to probably put some of the other cable networks in danger of pulling the plug and going off the air, because people are going to have to modify. We're all saying all of our news is getting so filtered that the high point of some of the news stories sound more like an infomercial than actually reporting news anymore. And I think that they're pulling the other networks to task.
And of course, I can't resist going to John Berry, who lives on Fox. What do you think about this?
Well, I've actually been watching Al Jazeera somewhat on the PBS channels. I kind of have to amplify what Mr. Cannon said. They do provide a more complete coverage, especially of the Middle East problems, and just know they're biased. It's an Arab station, not a Qatar. And as long as you know what their proclivities are, you filter it accordingly. But they do provide a lot of complete coverage of stories you'll never see on any other network. And it's certainly better than that, what was it, Current TV. And my only problem with them is they made Al Gore a billionaire. But I would encourage people to watch it and get a fresh perspective.
Good Lord.
Listen to me.
Does this mean you're running away from Fox?
No, I obviously watch Fox, but they rerun a lot of the same shows. So, you know, there are gaps in my day that I'm not working or watching Fox. And especially it's going to be a little more when football season starts. But as of now, I would recommend them to watch, and just, it's probably not for everybody, but keep an open mind and know their biases. I mean, they don't claim to be independent. They're an Arab station, not a Qatar. But it'll give you a different perspective around the world. And, that education can be dangerous in the wrong minds. But I think it's an educational station. Kind of like your program, Simon. But you hear things, you know, like those absurd opinions of Sam you'd never hear anywhere else.
Right. Sam, do you have one of the TVs in your bar tuned to Al Jazeera?
Yeah, and I saw an advertising for Peter Haven Law. It was really shocking, you know. I mean, wow.
Oh, I'm finally glad they got that up and running.
Oh. they don't have any good-looking women on this as anchor babes, so I refuse to... What to get a burkas on? You can't tell if they're men or the women.
Exactly, all women are beautiful in burkas.
I have no desire to watch it. There's enough propaganda on television, including John's favorite Fox, Simon, your favorite MSNBC, CNN used to be okay, but they've gotten terrible. And, you know, my biggest – someone who watches it, one of my friends told me, did say the one thing he liked about it, he knows it's biased. It was an interesting point of view, but the one thing he did give it two thumbs up for was there was hardly any commercials on it. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I have noticed on MSNBC, CNN, Fox, when I do flip through to get an idea of what's going on, the incredible amount of commercials on the shows that you can't even see what the show's about, because they're just, as soon as they're getting into an interview or someone's making a good point, bam, you got a ton of commercials coming. So
and you think sometimes that the And you think sometimes that the commercials are actually buying the news programs, that that they have great influence instead of reporting news. Go ahead.
An excellent point, and a well-stated, an excellent point. Henceforth, I think I'm going to stick to, you know, internet surfing, getting things of that nature, and then incredibly wonderful emails from John Perry that have been censored by the NSA about what's going on in the world.
I've watched a little bit about Al Jazeera, and it seems fine. It seems balanced, and I'll be the first to admit that I lean left. John leans right. It seems to be.
Simon, I'm only leaning, you falling down.
they seem to be off to a reasonable start, but I'm just not sure that they can really rid themselves of the Middle East bias, and I think that's going to be a huge hurdle. And anyone have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that they may have some a lot more sustainability in metropolitan centers, where I think people aren't as prone to dismissing them just because they have they're headquartered in the Middle East. And it's just like fast food restaurants. There's always room for another fast food restaurant. If people like it, it will grow. And if people don't
did I hear you right?
Yeah. Well.
Ow.
I didn't say that I I need another fast food restaurant, but there's always another fast food chain popping up. And if people like what they serve, they keep coming back. That's all there is to it. And, I think Americans are probably getting a little tired of seeing, of trying to follow slanted news coverage. And at least at present, Al Jazeera is trying to present itself as an unbiased, objective portrayal of the news. Now, it's up to the viewers to decide if that's true, but I do find it interesting that out of the blue, a month ago, my dad told me that he likes to watch that news network, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And, I think it may very well catch on. And it'd be a nice thing to actually see some news that wasn't as much editorial opinionizing as it is just news reporting. I don't know how long it can stay that way, and I don't know if that's really what it's going to be, but I do think it would be a refreshing change of pace.
Yeah, good point.
Does anybody think if you're subscribing to Al Jazeera that the NSA will start spying on you?
Well, I guess I should disclose that I'm running advertisements on Al Jazeera, apparently, so I am somewhat possibly conflicted.
Yeah, the NSA is too busy spying on their significant others, their wives, husbands.
Yeah, That was actually good news.
And I think they're really putting these people in an untenable position. And also, I was thinking, think all the money you could make if you could sell that information. All the people would want to know, like, how their spouses, who they're typing and everything else. I mean, it's just too big a temptation.
Right.
But
how do we know they're not
find any terrorists? They're too busy spying on their own wives, husbands, and significant others.
John, you can make a fortune.
I know. That's what I'm saying, Simon. I mean, not that I've thought about that, but, I thought if I were a younger man, you could make millions doing that.
Okay. I want to change gears again. And start a discussion that I know is going to get everyone riled up. Oh, not that my others didn't. September is looming. We're faced with yet another potential shutdown of the government. Are the GOP stupid enough to go through with this threat to, you know, shut the government down, just kill Obamacare? John, I have to have you as the first person.
Sure, Simon. Speaking of bias reporting, I love the way you phrase the question, stupid enough. Some people would say principled enough, but I guess that's another network. Yeah, I think they're stupid enough. Yeah, there's a lot of it's going to be a fight. I've heard both opinions. I tend to side more with Karl Rove on the strategic side of it, not to do so, but I know like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and a lot of libertarians, Mike Lee, that Sammy supports, are saying, let's just roll the dice and maybe something will turn out different this time. Although I might agree with them in principle, I would rather see our side triumph, because I think it's better for the country. And it's a crapshoot. I don't know, Simon. But yeah,
How do you see it as better for the country?
Oh, because I think Obamacare, as I said, is a monstrosity, and I think they should just let it go forward and let people fully realize the effects of it than not. But you could also make a point, well, if you see pain and suffering coming, don't let it occur. It's a double-edged sword.
Okay. So,
look at all the jobs it's costing alone. It's just ridiculous. But we'll see.
All right. Explain how jobs are being lost.
Okay. Thanks for asking me. I just took a bite of my sandwich. people are hiring part-time now and keeping their employees under 30 hours and not wanting to reach 50 employees so they don't have to comply with the obligations of Obamacare. Right?
All right.
You know that. The new regulation is coming down.
Sam, do you have any thoughts? You know, should we...
John is definitely right. The one big impact that I'm starting to see and everyone else is about cutting people's weekly hours that they have to work, so they don't have to pay for the employees don't have to pay. Employers
30 hours,
don't have
right,
to pay
Sammy?
For it. Right. That's going to be definitely a big problem coming in the country.
And also 50
sure.
employees, right?
Yeah. Unless they keep moving the goalposts back on that too. But here's what my prediction is: we will be in Syria, and I don't want to be, but we're going to be forced to go into Syria. And therefore, there will be, and that'll keep the government. The war economy is more important than the Obamacare. And therefore, there will be no government shutdown, because if there's a government shutdown, we can't supply weapons, tanks, bullets, gas masks, and all that stuff to the world. So there will be no government shutdown, because we, by the end of the summer, which is coming rapidly close, in the next 30 days, before the end of the fiscal year, which I believe is October 30th or September 30th, we have to be cut down. I can't remember what. We will be involved in Syria, and there will be no government shutdown because of that. They'll kick the can down the road of Obamacare.
Simon, you'll never hear that opinion anywhere else. To keep the government going, we're going to invade Syria.
Instead, we're going to invade Syria, so we're going to be involved with Syria.
Okay. Peter, any thoughts on this?
Well, I think this is a lot of posturing right now. It's political posturing, which, of course, is nothing new. They've got a couple of months at least to try to, I think this is posturing in an attempt to try to get resolutions or broker deals on other types of legislation or other types of policies which will come into issue at year's end. I don't think that the GOP, anybody within the GOP would be foolish enough to try to shut down the government in an attempt to defund or dismantle Obamacare. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe some people are, as John says, principled enough to do it. And if that's what they want to do, then they will live with the consequences, as I like to point out. I don't know what that will mean, and we'll see if it happens. But I think right now it's a lot of posturing. I think it may get very close to some looming deadlines, but ultimately, I think as always happens, they'll reach some sort of compromise at the end.
You know, in some ways, sure, shut down the government. Yeah, if it's shut down, they're not spending money.
Well, if they're not spending money,
they can't fund the war economy, Simon. That's the problem. So they're not going to shut down the government. We're going to be involved in Syria, and it's going to have massive consequences that people. As Peter, you brought up a great point. The 911 might have just been. They're going to up the ante. And they've upped the ante in many, many ways that everyone doesn't remember. The greatest way to up the ante is anybody like flying nowadays at post 911 as opposed to pre 911? No. Look at the TSA, another government-funded agency. All the headaches of going to flying and all that sort of stuff cost the taxpayers gazillions of dollars. That was upping the ante. No one died doing it, but it certainly has put a crimp on the economy and changed the way people do things. And this next thing in Syria, as you said, Peter, is going to up the ante, and I just think what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be in Syria per se, but something, there'll be another act somewhere, sometime, someplace.
Well,
and
I'm
sorry to say it, but there will be.
Because if it is the chemical weapons, it's just going to have such a domino effect. You know, right now they're all killing each other and, no one's really caring, but, think about it. As I think John pointed this out 2 years ago, last week, 2 years ago, Obama was leading the charge to throw Hamza Mubarak out of office, replace him with the happiness the Muslim Brotherhood gets out. Hocus pocus, Mubarak's getting out of prison. The Muslim Brotherhood's on the run and the military's running the place. And it's like, what happened? strange, and it's a very, very unstable area, more so than it ever has been, and as Simon has pointed out, no one said the four-letter word lately, and it isn't Iraq, it's Iran. What the heck is going on there?
there's a joke, I heard it 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. How to fix the Middle East problem? Well, Middle East is mostly sand, and when you join sand and heat together, you get glass. So just, detonate an atom bomb. You can fix it for forever. Yeah, it's a bad joke.
Well, that's almost as good as John Perry's favorite song with Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran.
Right. Bill, you've been very quiet. You've got to be... forceful on this program. do you have any thoughts on the government shutting down?
Actually, no. I think that it is posturing, and there's just so many. Here's the problem. The problem is that because of all the news networks and because of what it is that they want us to listen to, we don't even know what the real reason is that they want to shut it down or not. They're going to say that it's about Obamacare and other things, but for all we know, it's such a hidden agenda on why they want to go with this, and the American public just thinks it's about a few budget issues, but it's always more than that. It's what you don't see. It's the iceberg. You only see the tip of it, and the rest of it below the surface is what's really going on. How do we find that out? I don't think we're going to find out.
Okay. I'm going to change subjects yet again.
That's good.
Right. Okay. You know, I think we've fixed most of the world's problems, but there's a bit of an issue in the porn industry. Did any of you get my link about...
I did get your link, Simon.
Right. What did you make of it?
I'm not quite sure I know what to say. A porn actress has tested positive for HIV, and apparently she's received an overwhelming amount of support from, you know, the industry and the communities. I guess HIV is still a threat out there, and I think that even porn stars are not immune from it. And I don't know what to say. This is a risk that these people take when they get into that sector, and there's all kinds of testing that's done to try to make it safe, but they can't. They can't make it perfectly safe, and this is the second or third story I've heard about various scares in the porn community and whatnot. And I always think of every time I hear a story about HIV, I think of Magic Johnson, and I don't understand how it's such a devastating illness to some, and some guy like Magic Johnson is thriving, and he doesn't show any adverse ill effects from the condition. So I don't know what to make of it anymore. I thought I thought it was less of a threat now than it was 20 years ago, but apparently it's still a threat.
Well, actually, what I found interesting in the story was the fact that they're putting a moratorium on porn on making porn movies for a while.
Yeah, that'll last about 90 days, I think.
Right. Now, I also believe that L.A. Passed some legislation that basically said, thou shalt be sheathed.
Yeah, I believe that it basically something was passed that required wearing a condom, and which is not the standard in porn movies. And apparently, a U.S. district judge ruled that this requirement was constitutional, and I don't know if that's going to go up to what we call the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals here and be challenged as constitutional or not constitutional. But usually when it comes to things like that, public health concerns, the government defers to the discretion of the state and county officials in enacting legislation or ordinances. And, I don't know. The porn industry is faced with a challenge. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Anyone else want to leap in on this story? Oh, no.
I mean, I mean, okay, so if they make them wear condoms, they're going to wear make them see-through, and, you know, it's going to look like it's all the parts are all there, and ultimately they're going to use something like a photo editor, and they're gonna glue a new one over the picture there, and it's going to look like they're not wearing one anyway. So, you know, what's the point?
It's very interesting because it never ceases to amaze me how enterprising and innovative people can be. And you're basically right. If the industry standard becomes that they're all required to wear condoms, you're going to see a lot of money and investment and research and development or what have you. And I don't know what they're going to come up with, but they're going to push that envelope because that's just what people do. You know, you present them with a hurdle or barrier, and it becomes a challenge, and they're highly motivated to find a way to deal with it. And you know, it'll be amazing to see what grows out of this. No pun intended.
Well, you didn't say anything about wood, so I know there was no pun there.
Well, you know, there are some things that they go without saying, but I don't know. Maybe it'll increase the market for, you know, pre-regulated porn. Maybe that demand will go up because those are the good old days. Those are the ones you want to watch. I don't know. I have no idea. It'll be very interesting.
Okay. Enough of porn.
Never get enough of porn.
Well, I'm sorry I raised the subject.
John,
is there anything else we can stand up and salute about?
Oh boy!
All right, John, you sent me an email a couple of days ago. When I was looking for subjects to cover on the program, and you mentioned the Australian baseball player that was murdered. Would you like to flesh that out a little bit?
Was that the email where I said NSA was more out of control than you at a hemp fest?
No.
Oh, that was a different one?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, Chris Lane, that's really hard to cover in just a few minutes, but obviously my condolences to him and also Shorty Belton, I think was his name, in Spokane, the 88-year-old war vet. He survived Okinawa but not going to play pool in Spokane. Anyway, it's just a narrative or script written in America, seems to be daily, and these are just the latest victims. But I think somebody's got to address the core problem, and that's the people living in, and even the, I feel bad, even believe it or not, for the kids, not necessarily these. But to spend the rest of your life in prison is just incredible. All the lives wasted. But they're in failed schools. They have no supervision. They're running the streets. And that to me, is the problem. And I don't know how many of these it's going to take, but somebody's got to address the issue of the conditions in the inner cities and all the slaughter that's occurring on a nightly basis.
For people who aren't aware of it, this was a pitcher, and I think he was in a minor league farm system. And
he was a catcher at Northeastern Oklahoma University or one of the
Northeastern
Oklahoma University.
Okay, if he was from Australia, which is a little unusual. Australians are, you know, they mimic a lot of they play a lot of the American sports, and over the last few decades, people may be aware, they've caught up with us in terms of their competitive levels, and now they have Australians in all professional sports here in the States. But in any event, this catcher, this baseball player, was from Melbourne, Australia, and he was in Oklahoma, and he was shot to death by teenagers, and the description is that these teenagers were basically bored. and right. that they shot him out of boredom. That's what they supposedly said. Now, I don't know if that's entirely the truth.
I believe it.
The story.
They don't have anything to do. They're not going to go to school or they don't work.
Well, it's more than just boredom when you shoot somebody to death. There's something else going on there as well. Callous indifference to human life. You know, they're greater troubles than just not having anything to do with yourself. And
I guess
Peter, it was either that or
play a video game. I don't know.
Well, your point's the same. It doesn't matter so much whether it was boredom alone or boredom and other issues, which I think is really what it is. It's still something, and I don't know. I don't know how to fix this problem. It's not just I don't think it's a problem with any easy solution. It's not just about any one thing. Where did these guys get the guns?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
They're teenagers. They're teenagers, for gosh sake.
I suspect it was illegal for them to carry it, though.
Yeah, they illegally acquired guns somehow, and they're teenagers. They're troubled under any definition. And how are they getting access to firearms at all? I don't know.
That's the easy part, I would think.
Well,
okay, John. Do you remember several months ago we had a big argument about controlling guns, and background checks?
Right.
So what happened here?
How would that have mattered here? A juvenile can't legally own a gun. My point was there's a proliferation of guns. Only the crooks will have them. And actually, if Shorty in Spokane had a gun, he may have been able to fight back because he was bludgeoned to death by a flashlight. So a gun might have actually saved his life.
Well, it seems to me on the one hand where we're concerned about a proliferation of guns, the response that more will help just doesn't seem to ring true to me. I don't know how these guys got guns, but they shouldn't have had them. And it was due basically to what you said, a proliferation of guns.
They could buy a gun behind the 7-Eleven for $50.
Well, then there you go. That's the problem, a proliferation of guns.
Yeah.
Bill, a new voice on this. What do you think about guns?
That seems like a simple topic.
they're used for hunting. I think that we always try to take guns away from the people who know how to care for guns. It's the problems with the illegal ones. And I mean, these guys are kids. I mean, they were 15, 16, and 17 years old. And I just don't understand why people even think this way. That's like, just for the hell of it, let's go shoot somebody, So again, I believe in strict gun laws, but I do not believe in unreasonable gun laws. I mean, people get guns because they're hunters. They want to protect themselves. I mean, this is not an easy world to live in. Guns are necessary, and we just and there's collectors out there with all kinds of strange guns that we're going after the wrong people. It's the underground. It's just the same thing with drugs. You want to get the dealers and the people they're manufacturing off the street, but how do you keep from trafficking guns? It isn't from going after collectors, right?
No, it's not from going from going and rounding up collectors, but. Would you be in agreement that, anyone, literally anyone, should face a background check before buying a gun and that the gun be registered?
Absolutely. It's not a big deal, Unless you're in a hurry to rob a bank, you know, who cares if it's a week or two before you can get the gun? And if you already have guns, you don't need the – you already have a permit out there. So it's – you know, it doesn't mean that they need to reinvestigate you, correct?
Ah, but you can walk into a gun show and all rules are off, you know. I can buy a gun, you know, there's virtually no paperwork, certainly no background check. You know, should that be stopped?
Personally, I think guns should be regulated at least as much as automobiles, which means that there's a title to a gun. There's a permit to use a gun. There's minimal educational requirements that go into owning a gun, and that misuse of that item can cause your license to be restricted, suspended, and in some instances taken away. Now, is that going to solve everything? No, but it seems to me a very reasonable thing to do. And you know, I was actually thinking the other day that in many ways, you know, the NRA is a very positive force with respect to guns, because it's my understanding that the NRA wants all gun owners to be trained in weapons. Is that right, John?
Yeah, they've offered to train people for free, actually.
Well, I just think that's fantastic. I mean, I really do. And I, you know, I don't think it's too much to ask that.
But Peter, these kids will never go through the legal process to own a gun. So,
well, you know what? You're absolutely they might. But if the requirements for getting guns were just a little bit more than basically anybody can get them anytime they want, some of these things, in my opinion, would be prevented. This particular instance, maybe not. But
because you know,
just,
you know that no kid under 18 can possess a gun, right?
Yes, but we're talking about two different things now. You're telling me that whatever, and I agree with you, whatever ability these kids had, however they got their hands on their guns, they should not have been given the right to have those guns. But the same thing could be said of the Sandy Hook killer. He should never have gotten his hands on guns. But my point is, I believe it's all a result, or a lot of this is the result of incredible proliferation of guns. They're too easy to get, and if they're too easy to get, it seems to me you have to do something to just put some minimal reasonable restrictions on who can own them and possess them. And just to say that it wouldn't have prevented this one, and therefore we're not going to do anything, just doesn't seem to me to be the right approach. And I think even the NRA would agree that gun owners should be trained, and I agree with them.
Yeah, of course they do.
I mean, I just I can't help but think that you know, before you should be able to buy a gun, you got to pass some minimal educational course or something, some training to show that you're qualified to own it. And then I do think it should be registered, and I do think there should be some sort of licensing or permitting. And I think there should be special licenses for people who want to own, you know, banana clip 100-round AK-47s as opposed to six-shot snub-nose revolvers. To me, that just seems reasonable. And I think in a strange way, you know, the NRA directly or indirectly would agree with that. I think anything that can be done to put some minimal regulation and increase people's training and mature handling of firearms has got to be a good thing. It might not have prevented this, but it might have prevented some of these other things. You know, and if you're going to have guns, you've got to be responsible for maintaining them in a secure way so that they don't end up in the hands of people who shouldn't have them. And I suspect that that's what happened here. These kids got a hold of guns from people who may have been legal owners of them. And that might not have happened here, but that sure as heck is what happened with Sandy Hook in Connecticut. And, you know, and if you look at Colorado, you know, that guy bought them all over the internet and didn't need anything except a self-addressed stamped envelope and two cereal box tops. And, you know, that just seems crazy to me.
Okay, folks, I hate to do this because I can see we're just getting started on a really, really good discussion, but have to wrap it up. So I want to go round the table and you know, get everyone's parting thoughts. Sam, you know, what do you think about today's program and the gun issue and everything else?
First of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I had a great time. Next Sunday, I'll be celebrating with family, so I won't be on the show. But the following Sunday, I look forward to getting back in the saddle and kicking off the fall term. So summer, say goodbye to the summer and hello to the fall. By the way, my prediction is the Cleveland Browns will not win the Super Bowl again, much to my disheartening thing. I had a great show. As far as the guns go, with this horrific crime that happened and that you guys were talking about that kicked us off, those three kids would have killed him with clubs if they couldn't get a gun. They would have killed him with bicycle chains if they couldn't get a club. There's something wrong with the three of them in our society and culture that's allowing this to happen almost on a daily basis. And with the 24/7 news things that we see, we hear about it now. Maybe it happened this much in our past and we just didn't know about it because of the news things. But we are a violent country, and we're going to continue to be a violent country until something's done with that. As far as John, as, I know that you're a big fan of the Rosenbergs who were railroaded. I do want to tell you, I read a book, and I'm going to recommend it to you, by Boris V. Blokovic. My wife found it while we were arguing about the Rosenbergs. He was the engineer who became the director of Treblinetsk 40. He was the plutonium production reactor and extraction facility designer for the atom bomb for the Russians. And this is a direct quote from his book. You sat the Rosenbergs in the electric chair for nothing. We got nothing from the Rosenbergs except how to do better things with electricity. Now, I know you read some other things. That's the last word on that from my point of view. And I wish everybody a great end of the summer. And look forward to seeing you a week from 2 weeks from today.
Perfect. Have a great Labor Day. And Peter, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
No parting thoughts. Another great show. I've been watching the Little League World Series as we've been talking, and California is ahead of Japan by one run. And I think the Japanese have better uniforms than we do. But other than that, I'm glad we solved a few more problems today, and I look forward to solving a few more down the line.
Well, I opted not to discuss it on air, but on my second monitor, I was watching New Zealand wax Italy in the America's Cup. No one even knows what
the America's Cup. That's yachting, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, since we fell off the planet as far as America's Cup dominance, I don't think Americans even care about the America's Cup anymore.
Well, no one cares.
That used to be so big in America, the America's Cup. And then we started losing, and then people were like, let's watch soccer.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, New Zealand has captured the Louis Vuitton Cup, and I think it's on the 7th of September that they'll come up against Oracle USA.
Where's that moored in? San Francisco or San Diego or where?
It's in Frisco. And
Frisco.
It's incredibly boring. You know, great
boy.
Boats. You know, 72 feet long catamarans. And these things hustle at, you know, 50 miles an hour. And it's as boring as you can get.
You know, those big guys cranking the wheels to lift the sails. That was always the part that fascinated me the most.
Yeah, they've changed the rules a lot. It's all done with pneumatics these days.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, no, they still have people cranking. But, yeah, it's boring. You know, it's right up with drag racing. Anyway, I do need to wrap this up. John, great to have you on the program.
Oh. Japanese just tied it up.
Simon, I want to ask Bill, where are you from in New Jersey?
I live in Middlesex County, about 45 minutes outside of New York City.
Middlesex County, okay. My
I grew up outside of Chicago, so I'm a transplant.
From Middlesex. Okay, well, yep. We appreciate your participation today. I hope you don't regret your time, but appreciate
no, my ears aren't bleeding.
Simon, you're another story.
My ears aren't bleeding.
Week, and the big question is, out here, will the Browns win a game, not make the Super Bowl? And Simon, my best to Jan. Love you.
Okay. And Bill, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
Well, you know, we're kind of all pulling for Algeria, America. And, you know, if we take the stories and we figure out how to put them into a blender, I'm thinking that after Bradley Manning gets his gender reassignment, maybe he can fill in for some of the porn actors and actresses for that have HIV positive, and maybe they could feature segments on Algeria, America. You know, just a thought.
I like it.
Good side.
Okay. And with that great idea, I think I'm going to wrap this program up. We will be back next week, and it will be another 90 minutes of mayhem and chaos. But until then, everyone have a happy, safe, and healthy week. And we'll be back again soon. Goodbye.